This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kate comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Helpdesk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Where are you? There you are.
How's it going, Matt?
There you are. Okay.
Testing. 1, 2. Check. 1, 2.
All right. Plus 12. Let's drop that down a little bit.
All right. Feeling especially hot and spunky today.
Yeah.
It's all that rest we got. So.
Yeah.
I have a confession.
What's that?
You know who showed up for Geek Speak last week?
Who?
Me. Our listeners almost got a bonus episode if it wasn't for somebody saying to me, you know, there's no Geek Speak today,
yeah,
right?
Fine.
I thought that's only the first and third Mondays. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the fifth Monday. So anyway, it was okay. You know, I had some moments of quiet reflection sitting out in the ante room and, you know, just collecting my wits about me. So
it's good to do that.
It is. Yeah.
It's hard to do that on spring break.
Especially when your wits are as messy as mine are. They need to be collected.
Yes.
Corralled, rodeoed. So, 970-963-2976. The name of the game is Geek Speak, and we are the geeks. And you are welcome to give us a call with any of your tech questions, opinions, complaints. Let's see, what else could there possibly be? Tech questions? Did I say tech questions? Yeah. So anyway, and until somebody does that, Matt and I are just going to drone on about esoteric technology things that hopefully mean something to somebody other than us or even to us, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking that, I mean, a lot, I know everybody's tired of hearing about AI, but AI is blowing up so fast right now that I think, you know, we're kind of past the talking about the ethics of AI. Do we want it? Do we not want it? Is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous? You know, the ship's kind of sailed on all that, because the bottom line is, it's here. How are we going to use it? And what are safe ways to use it? What are the do's and don'ts? And I think a really good jumping off place, or a good starting place, would be an article that I just came across where Microsoft themselves, which I'm sure, you know, all of you Windows users out there are quite familiar with the term Copilot at this point. Basically, I guess after a number of people got bad advice or bad information or whatever you want to call it from Copilot, Microsoft has now said, you're not supposed to take Copilot's advice seriously. It's for entertainment purposes only. So there you go. So Matt and I were talking before the show about some of his favorite AI tools. And what are you using, Matt, and what are you using it for?
Okay. Perplexity AI has pretty much replaced my Google Foo and my DuckDuckGo Foo.
Okay.
So I'll just type in a question.
Let's back this up. Okay. So you go to a website, perplexity.ai?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I just did a request for Carl Sagan baloney meter.
Okay.
And so we'll reinterpret that here in a minute.
Uh-huh.
But basically, the nice thing about it, as it goes through, it says, well, I got this piece of information from Wikipedia. I got this piece from YouTube. I got this piece from Wikipedia again. I got this other place. I got some stuff, information from Reddit. So as it goes along, it cites the sources.
It's giving attributions.
Yes.
It's right off the bat.
Right off the bat. It gives the attributions. So, because sometimes I'll read I'll read it and go, wait a minute. That's not, you know, it skipped a step. It did something, you know, that it didn't work some way. You know, it had a logic failure of some kind.
Got it.
And I can go in and, you know, go look at the Reddit thread or go hit the Wikipedia thing or whatever, you know, comes up and says, hey, here's what I found. Yeah. You know, it gives those attributions and I can just go read the actual article.
Got it. So, all right. Now, let's go back to what was the name of the product that you're using?
Perplexity.
Perplexity. Okay. Now, is Perplexity under the same umbrella as Anthropic? Is it an Anthropic product or
so
not?
So it has deals with Anthropic. Let me see. I'd have to see the list. But it uses three or four different... So depending on what you ask,
okay,
it may decide... So there's some logic in the front end or maybe an AI itself. I'm not sure exactly how they're doing it. I'd have to go read up on that again. But basically, if you ask it a technical question, it's probably going to talk... It's going to go talk to Sonnet, which is part of Claude.
Okay. All right.
If you ask a different type of question,
which is part of Anthropic,
right?
Okay. All right.
Let me see here. Let me just ask the question.
It's all getting very inbred, and I'm noticing it's like everybody wants to mingle their genes with everybody else in the AI world and see what comes out. You know, we're going to end up with a 10-headed monster.
Well, you have to be really careful. I mean, there is kind of a what do you call that? You know, the inbreeding. There is inbreeding with AI.
Uh-huh.
Because if you take, you know, it's kind of like the copy of a copy of a copy thing where,
you know,
you start with a nice picture, and by the 10th copy, you can start seeing...
cracks emerge.
Yeah, you start seeing aberrations from the original.
Got it.
And so on and so forth.
Additional fingers.
Yes, eventually.
Digits. Yeah.
But kind of the same thing happens with AI, because you have to be careful about taking... if you take AI and you know, run a question through AI, and then you put that on your website, and then another AI goes and scrapes it, you end up with that copy of a copy problem.
Okay, and the when you say scrapes it means it paraphrases it, message gets changed a little bit.
So the big thing with AIs is you have to have an absolutely outrageous amount of information, terabytes and terabytes of information, to make... So you take all these AI, you take this huge glob of information. I mean, just I'm not, you know, I don't even know how to describe it.
Glob is an understatement. In other words, what you're
saying,
you know,
lake oceans.
We'll just call it a crap ton, or you know, a crap megaton.
Yes.
You know? Okay.
Yes. Right. Gigaton, teraton, something.
Okay. All right.
So to make an AI, you take this huge piece of information, you know, thousands of articles on, you know, Yetis or something.
Okay, how to make Brussels sprouts with the balsamic glaze.
Right. So you take 100,000 or a million or maybe a billion recipes of how to make Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
That way, and so then you have all the different iterations of that, and then it builds a. You have your kind of seed that goes through and grabs all these pieces. It's like, okay, they all have Brussels sprouts. They don't.
All right. There's a common thread.
That's a chunk of it. So one part of it has balsamic vinegar, but maybe one of them says, oh, we use sea salt. The other one says we use Himalayan salt. The other one says we use salt pearl. The other one says we use...
Sure. Okay.
And so... All
right.
Or they say, you know, you use, Albanian Brussels sprouts, and the other one says California Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
I'm just making things up.
Got it.
So, and so you have all these things, and so it's trying to... And it tries to figure out how all these things fit together, and it builds this web of information. It's kind of a database, but it's not really storing the information. It's like these points of logic that are going through, and I don't quite understand that. But I understand that you need an absolutely absurd amount of information to be able to have it make all these associations with balsamic vinegar and Brussels sprouts in this case,
and
different kinds of salt or whatever.
Got it.
And so then you get that out, and then you ask questions like, "Well, how do I make?" Then you can ask, you know, there's an infinite number of ways to ask, how do I make balsamic vinegar Brussels sprouts? You know, so you can see balsamic vinegar first, or you can see Brussels sprouts first, or, you know, whatever other things. He's like, or how do you make, you know, German Brussels, you know, how do you make this in a German style? And then it puts that out, and it creates that paragraph of information based on what it thinks is the most likely next word that is going to be in that sentence.
Yeah.
And so it builds that sentence one word at a time, figuring out what is the most likely, you know, so it goes through that list and goes, Brussels sprouts is going to be the first word. Then the second one is going to be balsamic. And then the third one is going to be salt and German.
Sure.
And then it, you know, then it hopefully looks through all those, all that piece of it, all those pieces of information, build that thing, and then you get an output. But then if you take that output and put it on your website, mm-hmm. and then somebody else grabs that word salad that the uh-huh. AI created,
yeah.
and puts it back into the bin of, oh, we're going to use that as one of the recipes.
Yeah.
And then you run it through again, and it'll start, it'll, the decision tree that it has to, that it goes through, because it took that information and put it back in,
mm-hmm.
changes as it, sure. as you go through the, as yeah. you go through the generations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then you end up with it degrade, because it's AI going into AI, mm-hmm. you end up with that copy problem.
Yeah,
essentially.
It's, well, you know, I mean, it's just a macro version of our whole experiment that we did, where we had Siri and an Android
yeah,
intelligence have a conversation back and forth, you know, repeating things back to each other. And, you know, it's just like human beings with a, you know, game of what they call telephone yeah. with kids, you know. And by the 10th iteration, I mean, they were talking about the Andy Griffith Show, and that's not where it started. You know, I mean, it just, that's a gross oversimplification. But anyway, yeah, the whole thing had pretty much degenerated into, it was pretty much babble. It was geek speak is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I was going to say that, so we've got, ChatGPT is kind of the granddaddy of it all. Then we've got, a number of sub variants, or a lot of the AI products are on the back end, are yeah. pulling, they're sourcing from ChatGPT. Yeah. So, yeah. So you don't even see yeah. that. You don't even realize that you're yeah. using it, but it yeah. does.
So for example, Perplexity uses one called Sonar, which is their proprietary model that's based on Llama 3.1, 70 billion.
Uh-huh.
And then that deals with real-time search summarization, fast responses. Other key models include OpenAI's ChatGPT 5.2 for reasoning and coding, and Anthropic's Claude 4.6 Sonnet, and Opus for complex analysis.
Wow.
Max and Enterprise. So, and then it also uses Gemini. It also uses Google Gemini 3.1 Pro for multimodal tasks.
Wow.
So just for example. And,
yeah. mm-hmm. Could you imagine if like you and I were plucked off the earth 10 years ago, time transported to now, and plopped down to this studio, and then we're confronted with all this. It's just like a whole different language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't you yeah. want to talk about system BIOS updates, you know,
and which are still very important,
DRAM compatibility. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it's the amount that we've seen the landscape change in this business, you know, in the time that both you and I have been in it, is stunning. And, I keep this in mind when, you know, I'm just kind of going off the little sidetrack a little bit, is that, yeah, I work with a lot of people in their 70s and 80s, and I temper the way that I work with them based on the fact that you think about, a lot of them didn't have telephones when they were kids. You know, I don't mean no smartphones. I mean no phones, period, you know, or maybe that's a little bit extreme, but at the very least, you had to pick up the phone and tell the operator who you wanted to call.
Right.
I mean, and
right. or at least pick up the phone and say, mm-hmm. you know, and listen and go, do I have a dial tone, or is this, you know, because it's party line?
I was just going to invoke the party line as a scenario, because we lived up just outside of Redstone, and we were on a six person party line, and when my daughter, when my wife went into labor with our daughter Simone. She was trying to call the doctor's office, and somebody on the party line was hogging the line. And, we actually ended up having to do what they call an operator intercept, to, you know, get them off the line so she could call for help, you know? And, anyway, that's just, you know, story from the dark ages for you guys there. So, yeah. And, you know, I think my number one rule of thumb, because it's pretty, if you're still, I still use Google. Okay. I'll just confess right here.
Which still gives you an AI prompt, basically, which you're basically still prompting AI.
Well, I was going to say the very first thing you get is an AI response. And if you click on the like the header of the AI response, it puts the AI, which I actually think is good. I'm going to give Google some kudos that they put the AI content into kind of what we call a flyout. You know,
yeah.
Basically creates a flyout box, and that's kind of the container to keep. Just to kind of keep your mind on track that you're in AI land right now, you know,
mm-hmm.
And until you close that fly out, you're not back to
right. Or at least scroll below it.
The yeah. regular world. No, but it has a determinate end. You can only scroll one or two pages in a lot of those flyouts. They don't go past that. They keep it brief, which is, you know, is actually good. But I was just going to say that, you know, my number one rule of thumb is never take the AI response as the whole or the gospel answer, you know, I just, okay. as hard as it is, because I'm pretty predominantly a pretty lazy person. And, I would love to just take the first response that AI gives me and just go, yeah, that's it. We're going to run with that, you know? You know, quite honestly, I got burned a while back. It was, in the context of a customer asking me what the official phone support number for a product was that, you know, they needed to call tech support. And I plugged it in and I got an AI response and I regurgitated a number and it was a fake number. And I will probably be doing free computer work for that person for the rest of my life at this point, because I learned a huge lesson that you always vet what you get from AI, because a human being has to vet the information, unless it's, you know, information about something that really is not that important.
Yeah.
But
support numbers, you need to be careful anyway, because you need to make sure that it's like coming from, you know, Microsoft.com or HP.com uh-huh. or Dell.com yep. or yep. Lenovo, whoever you're trying to contact, because mm-hmm. You know, it's they might have like Lenovo.hackme.com. Mm-hmm. And that's different than support.lenovo.com. It's very important yep. that the, you know, like lenovo.com mm-hmm. Is in your URL. That's mm-hmm. something. Otherwise, yeah. you have no idea who yeah. you're talking to.
So I guess where I'm going with that is that when you go with the first AI response, like if you put it into a Google search, then there is no, it basically you get a paragraph that states Comcast tech support is, and it has the number right there, you know?
Right.
And so there's no attribution for it. You can't see whether it's coming from Comcast.net, you know, or whoever it is that you're trying to, you know, do support, you know, get support from. And there may be an attribution like in a little tiny, like a little tiny icon, kind of like at the end of the paragraph, but it'll just basically blast that number right at you. And mm-hmm. so if you don't double check that number, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm willing to bet that AI is in cases like that probably right about 98% yeah. of the time, but you know, but all it takes is one of those the 2%,
yeah,
to just, you know, make your life really complicated.
I just did that on Perplexity just to see. I just said Comcast Business Support. Mm-hmm. I know the number basically by heart, and it says General Customer Support 1-800, and then the attribution says, you know, business.comcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I can go click on that link and just confirm.
Yeah.
So just, you know. I guess it's
dig
verify.
A little bit deeper. Don't take it right yeah. off the first screen.
So I was gonna say, I was gonna talk about Carl Sagan's Baloney Detection Kit.
Okay,
so it's from the book Demon Haunted World: Science as a Candle in the Dark. Fantastic book. I've read it several times. Mm-hmm. You know, but basically he lays out a mental toolkit for spotting weak, misleading, or pseudoscientific claims. And he calls this set of rules Baloney Detection Kit. So insisting on independent confirmation of facts. So in that case, it's like go to the root, and if it's a support number, make sure you go to the right mm-hmm. place.
Yep.
Valuing quantitative measurable evidence over vague or purely anecdotal statements.
Mm-hmm. And like a good example of an anecdotal statement would be to say, everybody knows this, right?
Right. So yeah, and you're
it's so easy to buy in,
and telling somebody that doesn't know that,
yeah,
it's like, wait a minute, I don't know that, and you just told me that everyone knows that. That statement is
false. That's the thing. I don't know much, and that I'm able to basically bust. You know, whenever somebody says everybody knows this, I'm like, well, I don't know that.
Uh-huh.
So, Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Checking for logical consistency, identifying common fallacies, appeals to authority, cherry-picked data, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
No literal meter. So, anyway. But, so that's it. If you want to, I would read up on Carl Sagan's baloney meter, and that would be a good first line of defense against AI shenanigans, because it'll just lie to your face.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I had Grok going. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I have, and I think it was 25 million webcam pictures at this point.
Okay.
So just so everyone knows, I work with ColoradoWebcam.net, and we have the 120 webcams in Colorado and New Mexico and other places. And so we have 120 webcams. They all upload an image every 5 minutes. So I have every five minutes. So it's, I think it's like 80,000 pictures a day or something like that.
Got it.
So anyway, I was like, hey, Grok, would you like to buy my pictures?
Mm-hmm.
And it just was like, send this email. I sent to the email and immediately just got back there's no one there.
Okay.
So I was just like, oh, you got all excited about, you know, having to be able to add these pictures to your knowledge and nothing.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants 36 million pictures of from webcams for the last 3 years, I'm your man.
Yeah. You basically examine the comings and goings of a lot of people.
Actually, I put one together, and one of the buildings in West Glenwood went from sand lot to built over the period of those image captures.
Yeah, because I mean, wasn't it one of those cameras, or was it on network when the Grand Avenue Bridge was built, or those CMC domain?
That one's a funny one.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's kind of a joint venture, and it's been
has multi-familial origins.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
We won't go there. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I gotta say I've been having fun with AI, quite honestly. And, I think one of the things that I've been playing around with a little bit is, it's called, of course, I'm drawing a blank. It's basically an image creation tool that is going to pretty much wipe out the need for stock photos. That I necessarily think that's a good thing, but I sure as heck don't like paying for stock photos when it's something really, really basic and simple. You know, it's, we got a phone call.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make it quick.
Well, let's see here.
We got 2 whole minutes.
You're on with the geeks.
I can fill up 2 minutes.
Hey, hey, how's it going there, Craig and Rifle?
It's going well. I was just curious with the discussion about Grok, how many people understand where the source of that came from Stranger in a Strange Land.
Ray Bradbury.
Heinlein.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things about that was not only the Grok concept, but taking things as you see them. Like the example was, there's a car in front of you. What color is that car? He said that this side is white. You don't know what the other side is without seeing it. Mm-hmm. And I think you can roll that into what Louis was talking about. You've got the AI search assistant. But when you bring that up on Google, you get all these other things below it. So, yes, it's easy to click on that. But there are you can go to 20 pages below that that will have other things also. And I think that point of not taking things at face value, just what you see in front of you, is a good rule of thumb. And, Louis, I'm in my 70s. If you need help talking to 70-year-olds, and we had 2 phone lines when I was a kid in the 50s and 60s at my house. We did not have a party line, but I grew up in Chicago.
Got it.
So all that stuff combined is there are some great things out there. But like you said, you sometimes get lazy. Lots of people are getting lazy. And it doesn't take much to pursue things a little farther to get a truer look at what the heck's really going on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to throw in there one of my actually big frustrations or pet peeves right now is that have you noticed if you're really looking for like organic reviews and comments on something that you basically have to drill the aforementioned 27 pages down.
Correct.
To get into organic comments and reviews. You know, I think that's one of the most dangerous because basically you're like looking at buying a product online and you basically type in the name of that product and you put in the word reviews after it. And literally the first 10 to 15, 20 pages are going to be curated reviews by the people that make it.
Right. I was given this for free to evaluate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, well, hey, thank you for the call, buddy. I'm not sure what our status is going to be next week. I think I'm going to be doing a phoner from Puerto Vallarta. And because we're going down to get some dental work done on the family member. And
we'll go up to Nuevo Vallarta where the beach is much better, even though the water's not as clear, the beaches are wonderful. You know,
okay.
Nuevo Vallarta.
All right. Thanks for that tip.
I've been going there for 30 years.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling, buddy. Take care.
See you, bye.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Marine Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, we'll be back on the 20th.
Yes, we will. Hasta la vista.